Chapter 94. The officer then gave the word to prime and load. The heavy ringing of the musket stocks upon the ground, and the sharp and rapid rattling of the ramrods in their barrels, were a kind of relief to Batnahy, deadly though he knew the purport of such sounds to be. When this was done, other commands were given, and the soldiers instantaneously formed in single file all round the house and stables, completely encircling them in every part, at a distance, perhaps, of some half dozen yards. At least that seemed in Barnaby's eyes to be about the space left between himself and those who confronted him. The horsemen remained drawn up by themselves as before. The two gentlemen in private clothes who had kept aloof, now rode forward, one on either side the officer. The proclamation having been produced, and read by one of them, the officer called on Barnaby to surrender. He made no answer, but stepping within the door, before which he had kept guard, held his pole crosswise to protect it. In the midst of a profound silence, he was again called upon to yield. Still he offered no reply. Indeed he had enough to do, to run his eye backward and forward along the half-dozen men who immediately fronted him, and settle hurriedly within himself at which of them he would strike first, when they pressed on him. He caught the eye of one in the center, and resolved to hew that fellow down, though he died for it. Again there was a dead silence, and again the same voice called upon him to deliver himself up. Next moment he was back in the stable, dealing blows about him like a madman. Two of the men lay stretched at his feet. The one he had marked dropped first. He had a thought for that, even in the hot blood and hurry of the struggle. Another blow, another. Down, mastered, wounded in the breast by a heavy blow from the butt end of a gun, he saw the weapon in the act of falling, breathless and a prisoner. An exclamation of surprise from the officer recalled him, in some degree, to himself. He looked round. Grip, after working in secret all the afternoon, and with redoubled vigor, while everybody's attention was distracted, had plucked away the straw from Hugh's bed, and turned up the loose ground with his iron bill. The hole had been recklessly filled to the brim, and was merely sprinkled with earth. Golden cups, spoons, candlesticks, coined guineas, all the riches were revealed. They brought spades and a sack, dug up everything that was hidden there, and carried away more than two men could lift. They handcuffed him, and bound his arms, searched him, and took away all he had. Nobody questioned or approached him, or seemed to have much curiosity about him. The two men he had stunned were carried off by their companions, in the same business-like way in which everything else was done. Finally, he was left under a guard of four soldiers with fixed bayonets, while the officer directed in person the search of the house, and the other buildings connected with it. This was soon completed. The soldiers formed again in the yard. He was marched out, with his guard about him, and ordered to fall in, where a space was left. The others closed up all round, and so they moved away, with the prisoner in the center. When they came into the streets, he felt he was a sight, and looking up as they passed quickly along, could see people running to the windows a little too late, and throwing up the sashes to look after him. Sometimes he met a staring face beyond the heads about him, or under the arms of his conductors, or peering down upon him from a wagon top or coach box. But this was all he saw, being surrounded by so many men. The very noises of the streets seemed muffled and subdued, and the air came stale and hot upon him, like the sickly breath of an oven. Tramp, 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 tramp. Heads erect, shoulders square, every man stepping in exact time, all so orderly and regular, nobody looking at him, nobody seeming conscious of his presence. He could hardly believe he was a prisoner. But at the word, though only thought, not spoken, he felt the handcuffs galling his wrists, the cord pressing his arms to his sides, the loaded guns leveled at his head, and those cold, bright, sharp, shining points turned towards him. The mere looking down at which, now that he was bound and helpless, made the warm current of his life run cold. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.